Good evening, this is Derek Alatorre with South Coast Air Quality Management District. Thank you for joining us today on our conference call for the public, give them an update on our latest investigation of the ongoing Chrome 6 issue in Paramount. Again, what we're going to start off with is we're going to do introductions. Around the table, we'll start off with myself again. It's Derek Alatorre, Public Affairs.
Kurt Weiss, the General Counsel.
Ricardo Rivera, Public Affairs.
Amir Desbach, Engineering and Permitting.
Matt Miasato with Science and Technology Advancement.
Cher Snyder with Compliance and Enforcement.
And also Wayne Nastri's on the phone too. He's listening in. So we'll start off with the first update will be the legal update from Kurt Weiss.
We have an abatement hearing scheduled for Thursday. Anaplex has requested a continuance for the hearing, which the district is strongly opposing. There is a conference with the hearing board tomorrow at 2:30 for the board to consider that request for a continuance. We're puzzled by Anaplex's request for a continuance, given that they've repeatedly stated that they're willing to stipulate to an order for abatement, which the district is fully prepared to do, and expects, in fact, Anaplex to honor its commitment and stipulate quickly to an order for abatement.
All right, thank you, Kurt. Next update will be enforcement update, and that will be Dr. Cher Snyder.
Good evening and Happy New Year. Our enforcement staff has continued to follow up in the Paramount community. We have visited a few additional sources in the general vicinity of Aeroplex Aerocraft and Anaplex in an attempt to see whether there might be any other sources that would be contributing to the elevated hexavalent chromium emissions that have been detected at some of our monitors in that area. We are also paying close attention to the monitor readings for the devices that have been placed near Promise Hospital and elsewhere in that vicinity, and if in fact we should see any spikes in readings there, then we plan to perform a saturation inspection in that vicinity, much like we did in the vicinity of Aerocraft and Anaplex, to follow up on potential sources there. But at this point, the readings have been a little bit lower, and so we are waiting before we deploy staff in that vicinity.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Next will be Dr. Matt Miasato, give an update on monitoring.
Okay, thank you, Derek. So, excuse me, we have just posted today, this evening, the most recent data that we have for a few of the sampling days. So if you go to our website, which I'm sure you're familiar with, there's a now new data, even though it says December 25th, it's actually for the 25th and the 29th. So we have 2 days of sampling that occurred over the holiday break. You can imagine the values were all consistently pretty low, except for the ones that are near Anaplex, where there are 2 and 2.5 nanograms per meter cubed. The other update is we've also just posted the data for the school sites. And the school sites, there were actually 6 different schools that we had monitors at. One of them at Jackson Gaines, the ARB samplers they had a problem with them, so those are invalid data. But you can see, if you go to that link, that the values all ranged in very low levels from 0.03 to 0.13 nanograms per meter cubed, so all pretty low values at the schools. We anticipate continuing sampling there at the schools for a month, before we make a decision on where to move those next.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Miyasato. Next is going to be community outreach, and there's no update on that. We're going to continue to have these conference calls at 6:30 on Tuesday evenings. Again, if you have questions you want to submit to us, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Again, that email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Our next report is going to be from Sam Atwood, our media manager. Sam, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Derek. Activity. We did not have any media inquiries last week over the holidays. We expect media inquiries later this week when hearing board action starts on Thursday. And in addition, we have received a couple of inquiries in relation to a news release from Supervisor Haas about late last week. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Sam. Actually, there's going to be a follow-up with Kurt Weiss from our legal counsel. He'll be talking about the continuance.
Yeah, so I explained a moment ago that Aniplex has asked that the abatement proceeding that's scheduled for Thursday the 5th be continued. That means that Aniplex is asking that the hearing not occur on the 5th, but that it be delayed at least until the 20th of January. Again, the district believes it's important that an enforceable order regarding Aniplex be put in place as quickly as possible, and for that reason, again, we are strongly opposing the continuance.
All right. Thank you very much, Kurt. That is it for the updates. What we're going to do now is go to the questions. Again, if you have questions, please submit them via email to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Our first question is from Norma Ruiz, and it says, "Dear AQMD, I am very concerned about the illegal metal operators in Paramount. How many metal operators in Paramount operate without a permit? How many metal companies operate with a permit? Does this include auto body / auto shops? And what is AQMD doing to crack down on illegal metal companies? Thank you." So I'll have this Cher answer this question.
Okay. Thank you very much for your question. One of the things that we began doing in early November of 2016 was to conduct saturation inspections and also to target certain other facilities that had been made known to us by the city of Paramount. And we did the door-to-door saturation inspections so that we could determine what businesses were there and the extent to which they might possibly be sources of hexavalent chromium emissions. And another purpose of this also was to determine whether facilities were operating with AQMD permits, those that required permits if they were operating with them. And we did pretty much the same thing with the facilities that had been shared with us, the list of facilities that we'd received from the city of Paramount. That particular list included facilities that had something to do with metal handling operations, and we inspected and visited all of those as well. And for those that we visited that required permits, we directed them to obtain them. Some of those facilities had permits with us already. We issued a total of, I believe, about 46 notices to comply to the facilities that we visited. We visited probably in the neighborhood of about 190, not all of which were metal type operations. And 35 facilities were issued those notices to comply. And just very briefly, Our agency will issue a notice to comply, either to request information from a facility that will help us determine its compliance status with respect to whether it requires a permit, or if it has a permit, whether it is in compliance with permit conditions, and or if it's in compliance with the rules that govern our operation. And so some of those notices to comply were issued to facilities to get that information. Other notices to comply were issued to direct facilities that were not operating the equipment when we were there at the time of our visit, but that had equipment subject to permit requirements to direct them to get a permit. You also asked about auto body and auto shops. We did not specifically look at auto body or auto shops, although we did visit some in the context of this larger sort of door-to-door process through which we went. We are interested in continuing to expand our investigation farther into Paramount. We would like to be able to ensure that all facilities that require AQMD permits have them. And so that will be probably one of the next phases of our operation within the city. And I thank you for your question.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder and Norma. Next question is coming from Michelle Lewis. Michelle asks, how were the schools chosen for monitors? It seems that Jackson is further than Gaines away from contamination sites. Monitor needs to be placed close as possible to the source of contamination, which would be Gaines. Why two monitors at Mokler? Why were Keppel and Zamboni chosen? Why is there no monitor at Tanner? That school is in a heavy industrial area. Will there be soil and water testing at the school? And then also she says, why is there no information about the roof contamination at Aniplex? Janice Hahn's Facebook page stated contamination at 75,000 parts per million. What is going on? So I'll have Dr. Miyasato answer these questions.
Okay, so let's start the schools. The schools were selected based on conversations with California Air Resources Board, because it's their samplers, and the Paramount Unified School District. So our staff went out with ARB staff and the Paramount School District to determine where they could actually site monitors. They needed to be in certain locations, so it had to have power, for example. They needed to have access to it. And so the first six sites that were the easiest and most accessible were the ones that are on our website, and those are the first ones selected. So it was really an expedience measure. Our plan is to go to all the schools in the region to ensure that that we do sampling there as well. So this is not the end-all be-all for the schools. This is just the start. If Derek can bring that question. So, and then the question about Gaines, we placed the monitor at Jackson, as I mentioned, because it had an appropriate site for the sampler. It's about 500 feet away from the Gaines property, but we've heard numerous concerns about that, so we're actually reapproaching the school district to see if we could put it on the Gaines property. There are two samplers located at Mokler, and that's we call that co-location. It's really a quality assurance check to ensure that the data that we are getting is accurate. So we'll compare the two samplers and ensure that they're consistent. And that's why we just use that for a QAQC check. And as I mentioned, for Keppel and Zamboni, those were again selected for the expediency of siting. We will look into Tanner as the next site. You know, we heard at the town hall meeting, one of the major schools of concern was the Jackson Gaines, and so that's why we put a monitor there. If the community is telling us that Tanner is the next one that they'd like to see a monitor, we'll look to deploy there. And then the question is, will there be soil and water testing at the school? And that's something we'd have to discuss with our sister agency, so DTSC and the Water Board.
And then the last question is?
The last question.
About
yes.
Janice Hahn's.
Yeah, so I did fail to mention that. We did take bulk samples off the roof of Aniplex, and they returned high levels of hexavalent chromium. But there is no, so the reason we do the bulk samples is to essentially identify whether there is a source of hex chrome. There is no standard for the bulk sample. So it's when Supervisor Hahn had indicated it was 75,000 parts per million and greater than ambient levels, it's really, you're comparing apples and oranges. We use it just to identify whether there's chrome 6 coming from the facility and coming out of the facility. And so that's what, you know, so we're essentially able to identify that chrome 6 is being released from that facility. The ambient samplers that we have on the street level are what tell us what it could be being released into the community.
Okay, so far those are all the only questions we have. Again, I want to, if you like to submit a question, please submit it to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Again, that email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We'll hold on and see if we receive any more questions. So far, no questions. If anybody else has joined us late, if you'd like to submit a question, please submit it to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Again, those of you who joined us late, if you'd like to submit questions to us, the email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, and we got a question from Michelle Lewis. Do not know if my email went through. It seems that the levels on the roof would still be a health concern. Does it not become airborne? Is it not a hazardous for rain wash off?
So this is Matt again. The bulk samples, as I mentioned, were collected from the roof, and that gives us an idea that there is hex chrome emitting from the facility. The monitors that are in the committee on the light poles are the ones that are indicative of what is being released into the air. So yes, it is a concern that there's high levels on the roof, but we're focused on what could be going into the community from the air monitors.
And then Matt, she mentions, does it not become airborne, the chrome 6 that's on top of the roof?
It could very well become airborne, and that's why we are concerned about it, and this will be brought up at the hearing board on Thursday.
All right. And then her last question, is it not a hazard for rain wash off?
It can become hazardous. Yeah, it becomes a water issue for certain.
Yeah, and the water board was on a call earlier today with us, and we notified them of the
and EPA.
So yeah, as Matt mentioned earlier, that issue that Michelle brought up about the water runoff from the roof, we have referred it over to other agencies for enforcement action because they have the authority to investigate it. Okay, you got a question from Rabina. So Rabina, your question is, can you please comment and clarify if the following is accurate? We were advised that Paramount Unified Limited ARB's ability to review or retrieve information from the monitors at school sites. Specifically, did Paramount Unified only access was before 7 a.m. or after 3 p.m.?
Hi, Rabina, this is Matt. So, They didn't want to have individuals coming onto the school campuses during school hours, and so the ARB staff could retrieve the filters after the 3 o'clock p.m. So it wasn't they were blocking or hindering the monitors from collecting data. It was just whether they could actually go on site to pick up the filters. The filter and the samplers are on a 24-hour integrated average, so they're pulling, you know, they're operating for 24 hours from 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. So it's really just an issue of getting access to retrieve the filter. They didn't block us from accessing the data.
Okay, we got another question from Michelle Lewis. When will we know whether the meeting on January 5th is going forward? Can we be notified?
This is Kurt Weiss. We should know by 3:30, at least by 4 o'clock tomorrow, and we will put something up on the website.
So yeah, if you could just visit our website and go to the Paramount page, we'll put it up there tomorrow as soon as we find out. Again, if folks joined us late, please submit your questions to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We're still waiting for questions to see if they come through. Okay, you know what? We already have a technical problem. We're going to try to get back on, but we got a question from Mauricio Hernandez. It doesn't seem like you're receiving all the emails. Thanks. What is the status on AeroCraft, and to what capacity are they working with AQMD? Kurt, you want to talk about AeroCraft and?
Yeah, AeroCraft is currently operating under a stipulated order for abatement. That means that we and AeroCraft were able to reach agreement on an order for abatement, and that order was entered, I believe, a week ago last Friday. So I think from the monitoring results, Matt, you can help me out here, but I think they're the monitoring the results of the monitor right outside their facility indicate that their hex chrome emissions have come down significantly.
Yes. Yeah. And they're so they're within their 1 nanogram per meter cubed.
And then Mauricio also asked, and to what capacity are they working with AQMD?
Well, again, they stipulated, we and aircraft agreed to an order for abatement, something that we're attempting to do, but haven't been successful yet with Anaplex.
Okay, we're on hold until we get some more questions. Again, if you joined us late, the email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We'll give it about another minute, and then if we get none, then we're going to end the call. So we'll wait in about another minute. Give it about another 15 seconds, and then we're going to end the call. We are not receiving any more questions. Okay, got a question from Lisa Lappin. Why are there no monitor readings for monitors 2 and 3? I'll have Dr. Miyasato answer that question.
So those are the long-term monitoring sites that were outside of Hickson. Carlton Forge. And that just the analysis is lagging behind. Those are pending. We're anticipating getting that data.
Thank you, Lisa, for your question. Okay, Lisa asked another question. Has OSHA been called in to check these companies? And yes, in fact, we have been in contact with OSHA, and they did mention that they were going to make visits to those companies. Give it about another minute. Again, if you joined us late, the email address to submit questions to is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, Lisa, or let's go with Michelle. Michelle's Lewis's question is, where can I find the most recent version of proposed rule 1430 before the meeting on January 11th? I'll let Susan Nakamura answer that question.
Okay, You can find it on our website under the proposed rules webpage, and then there'll be proposed rule 1430, and then it'll have the, it should have the current version, the 75-day notice version.
Okay, and then we got a question from Lisa Lappin. Please explain the apples and oranges metaphor, please. 350 ppm versus 75,000 ppm.
I'm not sure where the 350 comes from, but I think the 75,000 ppm comes from a value that we found in one of the bulk materials samples was 7.5% hex chrome within that sample.
The 350 times is what we said it was, what we found, or that was one of the the background.
Yeah. So what I meant by apples and oranges, when you take the bulk sample, you're just looking to see if there's hex chrome within that sample. You're not looking for a specific concentration or a specific level. We're just looking to identify whether there's hex chrome coming from that sample, in particular on that facility. So it's really just a way of identifying whether hex chrome is coming from the that stack, as it were.
So one is air?
One is in the ambient air, the concentration. So that's the units that we use on the sampling page. It says nanograms per meter cubed. So that's the concentration in the air. And I think the 350 times.
That's what you just mentioned. The 75,000 ppm is from the bulk sample.
It's from the bulk sample, right? So you can't compare the bulk sample concentration to an ambient concentration.
But the 350 ppm was not, which I think you're referring to, is not an actual measurement. That was a comparison between background levels and the very early monitoring data that we had collected, which we had reported was 350 times the typical background. So there's no 350 ppm number that we're aware of.
Again, if you joined us late, the email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We'll wait about another minute. Lisa Lappin, question is, what do you mean there's no 350 ppm level? Was that not the levels reported to the press in November by SCAQMD?
No, the 350, what was reported to the media was a comparison between the background levels, the typical background levels, and a comparison to the levels that we were seeing, which the average at that time was, I believe, 17 nanograms per cubic meter compared to 0.06 nanograms per cubic meter. And if you divide that, it was about 350 times higher than the typical background level.
It's not ppm,
it was just a multiplier.
Yeah, it was just a multiplier, nanograms per cubic meter. And then we got a question from Rubina. Will AQMD be monitoring at Press Forge?
So we have, we're putting it, this is Matt, we're putting monitors out in areas where we believe there could potentially be high levels. And so I think the area around Press Forge that's downwind is by Promise Hospital. And we have a sampler located there already.
give it about another minute. Again, for those of you who may have joined us late, the email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, got another question from Lisa Lappin. Will you be monitoring Weber, Metal, and Matco? Is Matco still grinding in the open air?
I believe those are both south of Alondra, and the intent of those, if you look at the map, I think it's sites 19 and 20, that was intended to look at potential emissions downwind of those facilities. So, you know, that's the intent, and these, we just started sampling there, so, you know, we'll wait to see what we get.
Thank you, Dr. Miyasato.
And then in regards to the question, is Matco still grinding in the open air? I went to Matco.
Who are you? Tell them who you are.
I'm Susan Nakamura. And we went to Matco just a little before Christmas. And no, they are not grinding in the open air. They brought all their grinding within the building.
Okay, we'll give it about another 30 seconds. Okay, looks like we got one last question coming in. So we got a couple. First question is, why didn't AQMD present evidence from the roof to the judge at the December hearing? Isn't this info significant? Will you present it on Thursday? I'll let Kurt Weiss answer that question.
Yeah, so the sampling results weren't available until after the court hearing. We do think the information is significant, and yes, we do plan to present it to the hearing board
on Thursday.
Well, yeah, when I'm not certain that we'll get around to it on Thursday, but we will attempt to get it in front of the hearing board as quickly as we can.
Okay, and then we've got another question from Michelle Lewis. So what would normal PPM of bulk sample for Chrome 6? Is 75,000 PPM a normal sample number for bulk sample? Is that a high PPM, low PPM, normal range for bulk sample?
So this is Matt, Michelle. As I mentioned, there is no kind of normal value. It's used just to identify whether the material was there. But it's, you know, something in the percent range. Now, the highest one that we found in the bulk sample was 7.5%. That's significant. So, as our general counsel mentioned, Kurt Weiss, is that we think it's important for the hearing board to hear that and make a determination for them to enter an order of abatement.
Lisa Lappin, question is, why wouldn't you get around to presenting this on Thursday? I'll have Kurt answer that question.
I just, this is Kurt Weiss. It's uncertain what issues will all become before the hearing board on Thursday. And again, We will attempt to get it in front of the board, but there are other issues that the board will be dealing with. And so I don't want to make any kind of promise that this is an issue that will come up on Thursday.
But will the hearing last more than Thursday? Will it go beyond Thursday? It may go beyond Thursday, is that correct?
Well, you know, again, our goal is to reach a stipulated order for abatement with Aerocraft, so with Anaplex. So our goal would be to conclude the hearing on Thursday with a stipulated order.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. I got a question from Michelle Lewis. You said not a press forge, but downwind at the hospital. It needs to be closer to the facility. Should it be at press forge, not downwind? I'll let Dr. Miyasato.
Yeah, so we're trying to sample or put monitors in a systematic fashion so we'll can identify the sources. But as I'd mentioned, I'm not sure where press forge is. It's right across from the
on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah. So the prevailing wind direction is west to east, and so that's why we put the monitor at Promise, and there's another one just south of that. As we continue to deploy monitors and they're no longer needed north of Alondra, we'll do more sampling down south.
About another 30 seconds. Okay, that's about it. That's all we received. This phone call will continue again next Tuesday at 6:30. Thank you for participating tonight.